For Jesus, breath is hugely important. It's the thing that brings us life. But for Jesus, the Word, it was the thing that brought everyone life. When God breathes life into the world. So when Jesus breathes on his disciples and brings them life, it's life, more life than they could ever imagine. And the same is true for us. Hi, welcome to St. Ninian's Church in Stonehouse. My name's Stuart and I get to be the minister here. It's wonderful that you could join us from wherever you find yourself. We're glad that you're here. Know that God loves you and that you are welcome here. As always, you can find out everything about us from our website at st-ninians-stonehouse.org.uk. And please, if you're watching on video, then leave a comment below. Tell us who you are, where you are, and a bit about why you came today. Our service today is led by Yvonne Hamilton, one of our elders and worship leaders. And our readings and prayers are brought to us by Catherine and Lewis Epps. So let's listen now for the Word of God.
Today's reading is from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Nothing remains the same. And it's sometimes difficult for us to cope with that basic fact. Coping with change is always an anxious process. We don't know if we'll be able to handle it. Change happens whether we like it or not. But the question is, how do we handle change? How do we handle stress? How do we handle worry? The first group of disciples that Jesus gathered around him had become accustomed to a certain lifestyle. Jesus was the teacher, the rabbi, and they were his pupils. He walked and talked and he taught by everything he did, by way of his actions and his life. The disciples had in effect been in school, but now that was coming to an end. Jesus explains to them that he's going to die, but the disciples don't understand that at all. Even over 2,000 years later, we can easily imagine the stress and anxiety they were feeling. They are in Jerusalem at Passover, and the temple authorities are out to get Jesus. The disciples know that something is in the wind, but they don't know what. Jesus tells them that soon he will no longer be with them, but that he will not leave them orphaned. Jesus was not going to be there physically anymore. The unthinkable was happening. What did they do now? What did they do now without Jesus? But Jesus reassures them again that they are not going to be without him. Jesus says that even after his death, he will still be with them. He will still encourage them, help them, guide them along the way. But the nature of his presence will change. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, he says. He will be present to them, but in the form of the Holy Spirit. We've all been in those situations when we sign up to do something. And as long as we have someone to help us do it, that's fine. But if we've got to do it alone, forget it. As long as the support's there, we'll do it. The disciples were the same. The disciples signed up because Jesus was a team leader. Jesus was their helper. They recognised God in him as he was physically present before them. Now, Jesus is not going to be present like that any longer, but his promise is, he's still with them. His promise to us is that he is still with us. Sometimes we may feel overwhelmed by our problems. The stresses and anxiety just builds and builds. Sometimes the problems are to do with our health. We're in pain, we're tired, overworked. Sometimes the problems are physical. The roof leaks, the washing machine's broken, we're having car trouble. All of which put a strain in our finances, causing us even more stress. More often than not, the problems we face are emotional. Problems that involve other people and their relationships with them. Now, we don't want to spend all our time stressing about our problems. We know it has an effect on our health. And let's be honest, after a while, we get fed up hearing ourselves moan. After all, everybody has problems. Everybody has difficulties in life, whether they're big or small. So when someone asks us the question, how are we? We respond by saying good, don't we? When really nothing could be further than the truth, that we're facing problems, that we're struggling, and that we could be doing with some help and some guidance. That is why we all need Jesus. We may be limping. We may be wounded. We may be emotionally broken. But no matter how bad it gets, Jesus is still with us. Jesus is still a loving, living presence in our lives. So no matter what comes our way, we can hold tight to the promise that Jesus is our helper. Jesus is always there to guide us. The promises contained in the passages we heard this morning are filled with power, hope, and intimacy. Every time I read this passage, I'm inspired. When I read these words, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realise I'm in my Father and you are in me and I'm in you. It sounds as if we're being welcomed into the inner life of God. It sounds as though Jesus were welcoming us to be the fourth member of the Trinity. What an honour. What a privilege. What a mystery. But as well as being inspired, I also wrestle with this passage too. When Jesus says, you are in me and I am in you, I wonder how we should experience that reality. Should having the Spirit feel like we are able to function differently? If the Spirit of God lives within us, then how should we experience life? Given that Jesus says that being filled with the Spirit will be our permanent reality, it makes me wonder how this is true, not just during those mountaintop experiences, but also in our most mundane moments as well. The Greek and Hebrew word for spirit, pneuma, can refer to a number of different things. God's spirit, a human spirit, wind and breath. It's this last word, breath, that I want us to think about. What have each and every one of us been doing? We've all been breathing. Well, at least I hope we all have. In a few weeks, we will celebrate Pentecost and we'll hear how Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I'd like to make an analogy for how we can experience our own process of breathing to how we experience God's Spirit within us. Most of the time, we're unaware of our breath. Yet breath is crucial to living. We need to breathe every second of the day. Generally speaking, after 1 minute without oxygen, brain cells begin to die. After 3 minutes, brain damage gets more and more likely. And after 5 minutes, death becomes imminent. Breath is so crucial to life itself, yet what percentage of the day are we actually aware that we're breathing? We are made not to have to pay attention. We breathe while we're sleeping. This is true for all of us, except those with sleep apnea, of course. My hope with this analogy is that it can help us see how, just like our breath, God's Spirit is always present and doesn't require us to continually be aware of this reality. The fact that we are at times unaware of his spirit does not for a moment suggest that his spirit is not at work or that he is absent. God's spirit is not dependent on our awareness to do his work. In fact, God sometimes deliberately blinds us to his presence so he can work more deeply. Much of the Spirit's work lies beneath our conscious awareness, yet just as our breath never leaves us as long as we live, Jesus promises his Spirit will never leave us. In the passage we read, notice that the only thing we need to receive the Spirit is that we should love Jesus. Jesus doesn't say that we get the Spirit only when we pray, or when we read scripture, or when we serve the poor, or when we witness to people, or when we love our brother, sister, and neighbour. He doesn't say, when we do those things, then my spirit will be with you. Jesus says that when we love him, he will ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to us. When we have the Spirit, doing those other things comes more naturally, because the Spirit of Jesus is living in us. When we first love Jesus, the Spirit comes and makes a permanent home and never leaves us. Just like we only need a set of lungs to breathe, the only thing that we need to receive the Spirit is a love for Jesus. But just because we can survive unaware of God's presence within us doesn't mean we should. Let's go back to our breathing analogy. The way we breathe directly impacts the way we experience life. You only have to ask someone who suffers with asthma. How we breathe impacts the way we think, feel, and function. When we're anxious and scared, we're likely to breathe in short, shallow breaths, which in itself can create more anxiety and panic. Yet we can alter our mental, emotional, and physical states simply by becoming mindful of our breath. When we move our breath from the upper regions of our lungs and begin to breathe out of our diaphragm, taking long, slow, deep breaths, peace and calm begins to replace anxiety. Becoming aware of your breath can be a powerful practice of growing in peace and calm. In the same way, just because we can survive without being aware of the presence of God doesn't mean that we should. Just as we can become mindfully present to our breath, we can become mindfully present to God. That's where the Christian tradition of spiritual practices can act as a guide to help us become more aware of God's Spirit within us. Meditation is one way where we become still and silent, attend to our breath, and become mindful of the presence of God within us. Contemplation is similar, but involves using a passage of scripture to guide us into God's presence. Prayer, worship, walking in creation are all ways of helping us become aware of the reality that the Spirit of Jesus lives within us. Some of us are good at inhaling the Spirit. We find ways of opening ourselves up to God's action through contemplation and reflection, through studying God's words. But our difficulty is in the exhaling. Once we receive God's Spirit, we hang on to it. We cling to it, afraid to let it go, afraid to share it, almost like we think there's not enough to go around. Others of us are great at exhaling, always giving, sharing with the right motivation. But we never go back to the well. We never recharge our batteries. We never make time to be sure we have the right tools. Energy, perseverance, focus, compassion to complete the task. We forget to make sure that we are being fed, that we are indeed inhaling the Spirit of God so that we don't run dry. We certainly can go through life unconscious of the Spirit within us, but why would we want to? Through the Spirit, God is present to us as our helper, advocate and friend. Surely we shouldn't take such a gift for granted. Let's draw one more analogy between spirit and breath. There are times when the spirit takes over. Think about when you're exercising. Maybe you're on a brisk walk. Maybe you're out for a run. Your breath takes over. You can't help but breathe deeply. You can't help but fill your lungs. Sometimes the spirit takes over. Sometimes, during intense grief or heartache, the spirit comes and takes over. Sometimes, during a deep time of prayer, the spirit will come and take over. Sometimes, simply for no reason at all, the Spirit of God comes and takes over, filling us with love, with joy, with peace. For some, their experience is that the Spirit comes and takes over and overcomes their body, their mind, and their spirit. I'm not sure about you, but I've had experiences with the Spirit. But I'm not sure that I can say I've experienced the Spirit take over. For those of us who haven't experienced such a powerful encounter with the Spirit, we can take comfort in Jesus' words to Thomas, who refused to believe unless he put his finger in the wounds of the risen Christ. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. There are some who will experience powerful revelations. For others, they encounter Jesus in ways that are more gentle and quiet. Jesus says he will reveal himself, and he seems to do so in different ways to each and every one of us. We heard Jesus speak to his continual abiding presence within our lives in our passages. The Spirit of Jesus is present whether we are going about our normal lives, unconscious of his presence, taking time to be aware of his presence, or completely overcome by his powerful presence. In all of life, Jesus is with us. Let's listen again to what Jesus says, and this time I'm reading from the Message. If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend, so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming back. In just a little while, the world will no longer see me. But you're going to see me because I am alive and you're about to come alive. At that moment, you will know absolutely that I'm in my Father and you're in me and I'm in you. The person who knows my commandments and keeps them, that's who loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and make myself plain to him. Everything about this passage speaks to the constant abiding presence of God. His presence is there in everything we do. So regardless of whether we're doing the dishes unaware of his presence, or whether we're practicing mindfulness while doing the dishes, or whether we've set the dishes aside because we're simply overwhelmed by his presence and can't go on. No matter what we do, he is there. At some point over the next week, I'd like you to take a few moments to find a quiet place and still yourself. Close your eyes and concentrate on your breathing. As you begin to relax, with each breath you take, may you be reminded of Jesus' promise, of the gift he has given you, the gift that lives within you, the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Come see the Son of the Living God, hanging on a tree, dying there for you and me. Come see the bringer of truth and grace, nailed there for us, agony across his face. This is love displayed, this is mercy perfectly portrayed in Christ, the cross of Christ.
Let us pray. Ever-loving God, in the long years since the world has seen you, we come together in prayer, in the hope and assurance of your commitment to us and the life of this world. We pray for ourselves, that we might be filled with your Holy Spirit, that we will be agents for peace in a world where destruction seems insurmountable, that we will be confident in your commandment to go forth in love for you and each other. We pray for our church as it continues to change, to evolve, to seek out the best way to follow you, that it will be a conduit for your promise to the world, but it will work for your purpose, not its own concerns of bricks and mortar, arbitrary numbers, or the dreams of past glories. We pray for all those on the margins of our societies, our communities, and our interests. We pray for those who are cast aside by a world obsessed by monetary wealth, the eternal goal of so-called growth, while those with the most continue to gain, and those with the least continue to lose. We pray for our world, torn apart by fighting, by greed, by disregard for the environment. In particular, we pray for all your children who have been ravaged by the sin of war, for families destroyed, lives lost, dreams shattered, and liberty denied. For all those orphaned by this evil, that they will know your love, and through your people, peace might become a reality. In your love, in your spirit, in your life, we pray these things in the words you have taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Go now with the blessing of God, known to us as Creator, Source, and Spirit, with us always. May the Lord